greetings to all our listeners from the Gunawage Mohawk Territory on the south shore of Montreal and from the Quebec Native Women's Organization. My name is Sherry Osnaawi Jacobs and I am your host. I am the Digital Information Coordinator on Family Violence in an Indigenous Context at the Quebec Native Women's Organization situated in Gunawage, Quebec. This podcast is part of a series of bilingual podcasts on family violence in an Indigenous context. I use the term family violence as domestic violence, intimate partner violence, or conjugal violence affects the whole family and not just the victim and the aggressor. This includes elders and children who are also deeply affected by family violence or abuse in some form or another, and they deserve to be spotlighted as well. The goal is to help spread awareness about the concept of family violence in an Indigenous context, as well as to highlight organizations and resources that help victims, family members, and concerned community members. On our Quebec Native Women's website, you will find the nonviolence folder under the Files tab, where there is a drop-down menu and the nonviolence folder is the second option. There we have a toolbox with several materials that are designed to equip workers who work with Indigenous women, girls, two-spirited people, and families in abusive situations. You will find resource directories, awareness tools, campaigns, and educational materials for social workers and Indigenous women shelters alike. To receive free printed material or to contribute to the toolkit, contact us by email at materiel@fac-qnw.org, or you can call Julia Dubay, our coordinator for the development of material on nonviolence, at 450-632-0088, extension 257. Before we begin, if you or someone you know is a residential school survivor, you can access Emotional and Crisis Referral Service at 1-866-925-4419. There is also the Hope for Wellness line at 1-855-242-3310. If you wish to share your story of survival from family violence, please contact me at 450-632-0088, extension 224, or by email at cjacobs@fac-qnw.org. Please know that your story can be the survival guide for someone else. In this first episode, I will be discussing what you can do when abuse or neglect happens. With permission from the itsnotright.ca website, all one word, my source of information are articles found on their website. It is a pan-Canadian approach to address abuse and neglect of older adults. About the Center for Research and Education on Violence Against Women and Children, CREVAWC, CREVAC, it was founded in 1992 as a collaborative venture between the University of Western Ontario, Fanshawe College, and the London Coordinating Committee to End Women Abuse, a large organization comprised of violence against women service providers. The center was established in response to a federal study on the problem of violence against women, triggered by the 1989 murder of 14 women at the École Polytechnique in Montreal. CREVAC joined the Faculty of Education at the University of Western Ontario in 2001. Development of It's Not Right, Neighbors, Friends, and Families for Abuse of Older Adults, INR-NFF, the Canadian Network for the Prevention of Elder Abuse, CNPEA, as well as professionals and advocates from all over the country, contributed to the development of materials through a highly collaborative process over a year-long period. The resulting It's Not Right, Neighbors, Friends, and Families materials represent the very best collective thinking in Canada for public education on abuse and neglect of older adults. So let's begin. What you can do when abuse or neglect happens. Everyone has the right to be safe and free from abuse or neglect. No one should experience abuse. It's not right. As neighbors, friends, and family members, you can help. You don't have to fix the problem. Caring about the people around you and paying attention when there are signs of trouble are important steps. Small actions can make a big difference. What we all need to know about abuse. Ageism is discrimination against older adults because of their age. Ageism is a factor in the abuse of older adults. Everyone has the right to live without fear. Everyone has the right to have control over their life. It is abuse if someone uses their influence or ability to limit or control the rights and freedoms of an older adult. The abuse is never the older adult's fault. Most older adults who experience abuse are healthy and capable of making their own decisions. Many types of abuse are against the law. All abuse is unacceptable. Older people affected by abuse are often isolated. Impolite behavior or rudeness is not abuse. It is important to understand that abuse means there is an abuse of power involved. You cannot control the abusive person's behavior. It is not your responsibility to make the abuse stop, but you can help older adults find support. Everyone in an abusive relationship needs help. What you can do when you suspect abuse of an older adult. Neighbors, friends, and family members are often aware of the signs of abuse in an older adult's life, but they may not know what to do about it. Here are three things that everyone can do to make a difference. Number one, see it. It's not right. Recognize the warning signs of abuse. Number two, name it. That looks, sounds like abuse. Talk to the older adult or someone you trust about your concerns. Overcome your hesitation to help. Number three, check it. Is it abuse? What can I do to help? Ask questions. Check with an expert on abuse about what to do next. Check for danger. Suggest safety planning. What do I need to learn? What should I say? Number one, see it. It's not right. Learn about abuse so that you can recognize the different warning signs. Abuse can be physical, but it can also be psychological, sexual, spiritual, financial, or neglect. The warning signs are not always obvious. All forms of abuse cause harm. It is easy to ignore warning signs and to tell yourself that you must be mistaken or that it's not that bad because it's only one warning sign. Trust your instincts when something makes you feel uncomfortable. A warning sign is like seeing the tip of an iceberg. There's likely much more going on below the surface. Some people think abuse is normal or understandable. Abuse is never acceptable. When you see a warning sign, say to yourself, it's not right. This will help you move to the next step. Number two, name it. I am worried about you. Overcome your hesitation to help. If it is safe, talk to the person who you think is being abused. Wait for a time when you are alone and not likely to be interrupted. Approach the person with care and concern. I heard your daughter yelling at you again, and I am worried about you. Describe just the facts of what you witnessed. For example, do say, I saw him take money from your wallet. Don't use judgmental language like, I saw him stealing money from your wallet. Do say, I heard your daughter say she didn't want to take you to the doctor. Don't use judgmental language or jump to conclusions like, your daughter is being abusive for not taking you to the doctor. Find support for yourself. Talk to someone you trust about what to do next or consult a professional. Number three, check it. What can I do to help? Check for immediate danger. If you think the situation is dangerous, call 911. If you have questions and want to speak to the police, ask to speak to an officer who has been trained in domestic or family violence. If you see a warning sign, ask questions. Don't assume you know what is happening. For example, I saw him take money from your wallet. Did you say it was okay? Or I heard your daughter say she didn't want to take you to the doctor. Is there anything I can do? Do you still want to go? Good questions you can ask older adults. Do you feel safe? Is anyone in your life hurting you or making you feel uncomfortable? What do you want to do? How can I help? Be supportive and listen. Remember that it may be difficult for them to talk at first. Let them know that you are available to listen whenever they want. Often, what older adults need most is someone who will listen. Acknowledge that they are in a very difficult situation. Let your friend or family member know that whatever is happening is not their fault. Reassure them that they are not alone and that there is help and support available. Encourage them to talk to someone who can provide help and guidance. Find a local organization that provides counseling or support groups. An example, seniors organizations, family violence services, local health centers. Offer to go with them to talk to family and friends. If they have to go to the police, court, or a lawyer, offer to go along for moral support. Remember that you cannot rescue them. Although it is difficult to see someone you care about being mistreated, that person has the right to decide about the next steps. It's important for you to support and help the older adult find a way to safety and peace. If you are concerned that an older adult is not able to make informed decisions, do not try to make decisions for the person. Consult with a local health center that serves seniors and ask how you can best be supportive. Other suggestions: be patient, listen carefully, allow the older adults to tell their stories in their own time. It may take many conversations before the whole story is told. Encourage them to be their own advocates and to find their own solution about what to do next. This can include a decision to get help from an expert on abuse. People of any age are much more likely to take action if they make their own plans. Ask them what you can do. Respect their decisions even when you don't agree. If a family member is a caregiver for the older adult, make sure they have the resources and support they need. Stay involved, even if you live at a distance. You can be supportive in different ways. Provide relief, offer to problem solve, or listen to hear about frustrations and challenges. Document any abuse that you see. Write down the date and what happened. Don't confront or accuse the abusive person, who may take it out on the older adult after you leave. Learn about safety planning. Find out what local services are available in your area. When support is not wanted. Many people don't want to talk about abuse. They may be afraid of and/or feel protective toward the person who is acting abusively. It's hard to ask for help. If the person you are worried about denies the abuse and you are still concerned, assure them they can talk to you anytime. Keep the lines of communication open. Give them the warning signs brochure and talk about what you have noticed. Show compassion. Don't allow yourself to become frustrated or angry. It can be hard to understand the decisions of others, but they should be respected. If you have immediate concerns about safety, call the police. Overcome your hesitation to help. Once you see abuse, you may feel uncertain about becoming involved. You are not alone. It is understandable to hesitate, but you will need to find a way to overcome your hesitation. There are some concerns you may have about whether you should help. For example, if you feel it's none of your business, something to consider is that abuse causes great harm and suffering and will not go away without help. It's everyone's business. Another is you don't know what to say. You can say that you care and are concerned. Listening is important too. How about thinking you might make things worse? Doing nothing leaves the person alone in a situation that may get worse without help. What if you are afraid the abuse will be turned toward you or your family? Speak to the person being abused alone. Let the police know if you receive threats. You are afraid the person being abused will be angry with you. Maybe, but the person will know you care enough to try. You are afraid of becoming involved. You can talk to an expert on abuse or service provider anonymously. You wish to maintain a relationship with both people involved. An example, both are important members of your family, both are friends, etc. One friend is being abused and is living in fear. Both friends need help. You believe that if people want your help, they will ask for it. People affected by abuse may be afraid and ashamed to ask for help or not know where to get help. You think it is a private matter. It isn't when someone is being hurt. And that concludes episode 1 on elder abuse. Once again, this information comes from the itsnotright.ca website, which contains materials that represent the very best collective thinking in Canada for public education on abuse and neglect of older adults. Thank you for your time, and please tune in to episode 2 on elder abuse, where I will be discussing what you can do to keep yourself safe from abuse. Thank you.